Read along with me today. I'll ask you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning with the first verse. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked up on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down unto his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey why then didst thou not go down unto thine house?" And Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk, and at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. And that's reading from 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 17 for a scripture reading. And I want to speak today about the awful consequences of sin. The awful consequences of sin. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In this day and age, I don't care how much has changed and how much things in our society have changed, I believe in preaching against sin. And I believe that it ought to be exposed. And we ought to call, you know, sin ought to still be called sin, because it is still sin. I remember one time I read this. It said that there was a pastor that got up to bring the sermon before the church. And when he got up, he said, "I'm going to preach the devil out of this place today." And so he began preaching, and he began preaching to the people of God about their sins. And about just a little ways into his sermon, there was some of them that got up and walked out. And he said, "I told you." And, you know, we as God's people, now we're not the devil and we're not devils, but I'll tell you what, we can sure play devil's advocate. And, you know, we need to put sin in its proper place. And the Bible teaches me that, you know, we, even though that we have been saved, that we can certainly still be guilty of sin. We can be, but also the Bible teaches us that we are to strive not to be. And you can find in the first chapter of 1 John, he writes about that very thing. He writes how that, you know, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And he also goes on to say that, you know, if any man sin, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And he goes into the second chapter in the first verse, and he says, he speaks there of the reason for writing these things. He said, "I write these things unto you that you sin not." And then he says, if any man does sin, that we have the advocate, we have Jesus Christ that we can go to and we can repent of our sins and place our trust in him, and he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now, David had done something here that he never should have done. And in fact, he did several things. I've read to you in these verses that I've read from 2 Samuel chapter 11, David was guilty of several gross sins. And once that he had committed the first sin with Bathsheba, he tried to hide his sin. He tried to cover up his sin. And in doing that, it just got worse and worse and worse. He just began to commit sin after sin after sin in order to try to cover up the sin that he was already guilty of. And I'm going to tell you something. Trying to hide sin won't get rid of sin. The only way to get rid of sin is to come clean before the Lord and repent of your sin and ask God for forgiveness and ask him, as David did in the 51st Psalm, to renew in you a right heart and a right spirit. And that's the only way that we can get rid of sin in our lives. And so David had committed many, many sins, as I said, in this 11th chapter that we read about from 2 Samuel. Now, in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, we find out something here that, you know, folks, this is always true. Mark it down. This is always true. No matter how good that a person may do in trying to hide their sins from other people, God always knows what we're guilty of. God sees everything. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God sees it all. God knows everything that we do, and we're never going to hide anything from the Lord. Well, David, I guess he had done a pretty good job. I mean, he had been pretty secretive in the things that he had done in trying to cover up his sin, but God knew what he had done, and so God sent Nathan the prophet to him to confront him about it. And when he went to him, the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel tells us that the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came in unto him, and he spoke before him in the form of a parable. And he said, there were two men in one city. The one was rich and the other was poor, and the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared not to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." Now, if you look in the 22nd chapter of Exodus, you will find there a law that was given, one of the Mosaic laws that was given, and it's recorded in Exodus chapter 22, verse 1. It says, "If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep." Now, David said when Nathan spoke this parable about what this rich man had done with the one little lamb that the poor man had, David said, "Let this man restore the lamb fourfold." So obviously David was aware of this law that was contained within the law of Moses. Obviously, he was aware of this law that says if one man takes another man's lamb, that he is to restore him fourfold. And, you know, when you think about that, how that when David wasn't aware at this point yet who this man was that Nathan was talking about, when he thought that he was talking about somebody else, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, how that his memory was so keen and so sharp, and how when he thought that he was talking about somebody else's sin, that suddenly he was able to remember that there was this law contained within the law of Moses about how that, you know, a lamb was to be restored fourfold if one man had stolen it from another man. But when he was looking at Bathsheba there up on that rooftop, obviously he forgot all about God's moral law of not committing adultery, didn't he? I mean, he obviously didn't retain that in his memory. And, you know, so often it seems like that we are so prone and we can so quickly see the sin that is in others, much more than we see that is within ourselves. And I believe that we have selective thinking in that way, because that's what we would rather do. We would rather look at somebody else's sins than look at our own. We would rather look at somebody else and say, you know, and condemn that person for something than look at ourselves. But listen, Jesus said, you know, if you're going to remove the mote that's in your brother's eye, you first got to take care of the beam that's in your own eye. And so, you know, Nathan, when he's telling David this, and David says, David becomes angry about this, and he says, you know, well, the man that did that has done this thing, he shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold to him that he took it from. Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." God was saying, you know, David, look at all the ways that I have blessed you, and look at what you have done in return. Look at the awful sins that you have committed against me in return. Now, if you look in the 51st Psalm, I believe there David's prayer of repentance is recorded in that psalm. And you know, there was something that David said in that when he was confessing his sin before God and repenting of his sin. He said, Lord, against thee only have I sinned. And you know, when I read that, I think what David must have been saying was ultimately, it is the Lord to whom we are accountable. But I'll tell you what, he had sinned against people too. And we can sin against each other. And the Lord Jesus Christ talks about that in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The Lord talks about that, about a brother sinning against brother. So we can sin against each other. David had sinned against Uriah, and he had sinned against many people. And his sin, the willful sin that he committed, was very destructive. And listen, it didn't only affect his life. It affected the lives of a lot of people. And that's the way that it is when we give in to willful sin, gross sins like this. It's not just our lives that are affected by it, but it affects those around us. And we need to always remember, listen, as members of the Lord's church, we need to always remember that our sin doesn't only affect us. It affects the whole body. It does. You know, if you go back into the book of Joshua and you read when the children of Israel had taken, had sieged Jericho and had taken it, and they had been told that they were not to partake of the spoils of that city. And there was only one man that the Bible talks about that did that. Achan, he took that Babylonian garment and he took that gold and he took that silver and he took it and he did what with it? He hid it. He tried to hide his transgression just like David tried to hide his. And he took those things there in his tent and he buried them and he hid them. And the whole nation of Israel began to pay for the sins of that man. If you don't believe that's true, you go back there and read the account of that. It was just right after that that they went to battle against people that they should have had no problem defeating, but they were defeated, and some of them lost their lives in the battle, and they were an army that should not have been able to do it, set them to flight and set them on the run. Shouldn't have happened, but it did because there was sin in the camp. And, you know, when Joshua began to inquire, God made it known to him what had happened. But I want you to think about what was said. Achan, one person, one man, had committed this sin, had transgressed God's law, had done what God said not to do. One man did that, and you know what the Bible says? It says Israel has sinned. Israel, the nation, has sinned against me. You know what Paul said, to bring it home closer to us? You know what Paul said about the church? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I probably won't get many amens today, but I'm going to go right on with what God told me to preach. We need to call sin, sin. We don't need to soften it, and we don't need to overlook it. We need to let sin be what it is. It's sin. It's the transgression of God's law. That's what sin is. It was the transgression of God's law that brought death upon mankind in the first place. David should not have done what he did. He was wrong in doing what he did. And when he had become guilty of adultery, you know, I know I realized this. Let me get this in. That we are all, it was mentioned in Sunday school downstairs today, that we, because even after that we are saved, because of our nature of Adam, we all still have the tendency to sin, and we need to be aware of that. We need to stay consciously aware of the fact that we are capable of doing things that can bring reproach upon the church. and bring reproach against the Lord. And so we need to, as Paul said, we need to keep under our bodies and we need to bring them into subjection. And when we feel the temptations, we need to run to the Lord and we need to pray for Him to give us the strength to do what's right, to be people of integrity the way that we ought to be the Lord's people. The Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Not partake, depart. But there's a, there are some things, and like I said, I know, if you break the speed limit, you've sinned. Because we're supposed to obey the laws of the land as long as they're not contrary to the laws of God. But there were some things that were obviously very important to God. And there were some morals that were obviously very important to God. And if you go read in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, when God gave His moral law to His people, He said, no idolatry, no making of graven images, don't take my name in vain, honor the Sabbath, honor your mother and father, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness against your neighbor, or don't covet your neighbor's wife or anything that he has. Now, we know those, as we say, as the Ten Commandments. They're not very popular in our society anymore, are they? People don't want those things posted anymore in public places. They don't want God's moral law put before people. Listen, they say today if you post God's moral law before people that you're infringing upon other people's rights. I'll tell you what, the world today, they've got this, what Jesus said there, I believe recorded in Matthew 7 perhaps, when Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. I'll tell you what, people have taken that all out of context today. Listen, when I preach against sin and the things that God said are sin, if you want to accuse me and you want to throw it back at me and say, you're judging me, I'm going to say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. There are things, many things, in which we were told to judge. You know, the problem is, with our churches, we don't do enough of it. We don't judge too often and take care of things and take care of matters the way that we should. Do you know that in the law of Moses, that there was actually separate laws given for somebody that sinned in ignorance, as to oppose that somebody that sinned presumptuously? There were separate laws on how to handle that. In Numbers chapter 15, verses 29 through 30, you go read about that. Make note of it. Numbers chapter 15, verses 29 through 30, there was laws, a law given in the law of Moses how to deal with somebody that was guilty of sin through ignorance and how to deal with somebody that was guilty of willful sin. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul spoke of how that he had been a blasphemer and how that he had been a persecutor, but he had obtained mercy because he had done these things ignorantly and in unbelief. But in the epistle of James, in James chapter 4, verse 17, James said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. And I'm telling you, there's a difference between sinning ignorantly and sinning in unbelief and just willfully sinning against God. When you know better and you do it, to you it's sin. And David knew better. I'm telling you, he knew better. He knew that what he was doing was wrong. And, he committed adultery with this woman. and sent her back home. And I believe that he thought, well, everything will be all right. But guess what? As it does happen from time to time, when a man is with a woman, she found herself with child. And I can just see the evil wheels in his mind when you read this begin to turn. Oh my goodness, we're not going to be able to hide this, are we? There's going to be an obvious sign here. Her husband has been off in battle, and there's going to be an obvious sign here that something, wrong has been going on, and we're not going to be able to hide this, so I better find a way to cover up that which I have done. And so he, in his deceitful way of thinking, he calls for her husband to come home from the battle and tries to get him to go down there and spend the night with her so he can say, well, it's Uriah's baby. Well, Uriah was a man of integrity, wasn't he? I'm not going down there. I'm not going down there and enjoy the comforts of my home and enjoy being with my wife while my brethren are out in the field doing battle. I'm not doing it. And so when David saw that, he wasn't getting anywhere with Uriah, he had him killed. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you got sin in your life, you better get rid of it, because if you try to hide it, you're going to end up doing whatever you have to cover it up. I've seen it happen too many times. I know you've seen it happen too many times. People begin to lie. They begin to lie to other people. They begin to lie to their face and say, no, I'm not guilty of that type of thing. I'm telling you, sin breeds sin. And the longer that a person tries to hide their sin, I'll tell you what, David would have been better off. When he saw that woman up there, he would have been better off, and a lot of other people would have been better off if he would have said, no, this is wrong, and turned his head away from it. And if he needed help to do it, I know that we're weak in the flesh. If he needed help to do it, he should have fell down on his knees right there before God and said, Lord, give me the strength to fight the temptation. But he didn't do that. And even after he had called for that woman and committed the awful sin of adultery with her, he should have fallen down right then before God and said, Lord, I've sinned greatly. But no, he wanted to hide it. He wanted to cover it up and hide it from the Lord. And it just brought more sin and more sin until God said, well, I'm going to send Nathan to him to show him, to expose to him. You know what I believe today with God's children? I believe that when we've got sin in our lives and we're harboring things in our heart that we shouldn't be, I believe God will send us the message that we need to hear. I believe God will send somebody to tell us, to expose our sin. I do. And when he does, we need to repent. We need to turn to God. And we need to repent of our sins. We don't need to harbor that. We don't need to give that, hide that away in our heart and hope that we won't get caught. We need to come clean before the Lord. David ruined a lot of lives, you know what? I mean, he really messed up a lot of lives. And you know, when we sin, I'm glad that there's forgiveness. I mean, I'm thankful that God is willing to forgive us. But I'm going to tell you something. David's sins affected him the rest of his days. He was never, after that point, he was never the king that he had been before. And God told him, because of what he had done, that there was going to be violence. There would be violence in his house for the rest of his days. That child, that baby that was conceived there through that act of adultery, God said that baby is not going to live, and he took the life of that child because of what they had done. I'm telling you what, folks, God is no one to be trifled with. He is no one to be messed with. You know, people today take him very lightly. They really do. They take God very lightly. But it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." The awful consequences of sin. It will wreak havoc upon your life. God hates sin. Don't ever forget it. God hates sin. I didn't say he hates sinners, but he hates sin. God hates sin so much that he told the first man that ever lived on this earth, "The very day that you sin against me, you will surely die." The wages of sin, the penalty for sin is death. That's how God feels about it. The penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for his grace and his mercy, or we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? We'd be in big trouble. We need to watch and we need to guard our lives as Christian people. Listen, let me caution you, because I believe the Lord lets us know. I believe, as I said, I'm convinced that David knew that what he was doing was wrong when he did it. If you know it's wrong, don't do it. Don't do it. If we are going ahead and doing that we know is wrong, it's willful sin. It's willful sin. And sin, I'm telling you, it has its consequences. It has horrible consequences. That's my message. That's what the Lord gave to me today. And I hope that it helps us in some way. I'll tell you what, we need to do, you know what, even though we live in the midst of sin, and even though we ourselves have the ability and the potential because of our Adamic nature, the nature of Adam, to sin, we need to do the very best we can to keep sin out of the camp. God will bless us for that, people. He will bless us for that. He'll curse us. He'll curse us when it prevails among us, just like he did Israel. God's not mocked. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. The God of Israel is the God of the church. He's the same. He hasn't changed one bit. Let's have a song.